the pursuit of happiness is a massive thing in our day-to-day lives. We all want to be happy and we all seek it for whatever endeavor we do, playing football, starting a business, having a family, traveling abroad, relocating to another country. We're all seeking it. A lot of us are starting to realize that once we've done there and achieved that, we're not happy. And why is that? And this is what myself and Charlotte Bourne talk about. It is an extremely interesting conversation with her. I've had many in private with her about the pursuit of happiness. But this, I thought we'd get out there. She's one of three people I really wanted to get on a podcast, and especially after a video that she did the other day on LinkedIn. So this is definitely worth the listen to. If you are a person, a human being, trying to be happy in life, listen to this podcast. It's Charlotte Bourne, everyone. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Can you hear? So, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, which I know too much about you?
Yes, we have to stay friends now and in contact because you probably do know too much. I started up Bourne Exec about a year ago. Well, it's over a year ago now, so it was in February. Last year, and I'd been in recruitment for years, I suppose, before then. So it just, I don't know if it felt right to do it or if it just was a case of frustrations, various things that kind of recruiters feel when they're working for agency.
That's
I decided to take the plunge.
That's an interesting concept. Like, why do recruiters start up their own businesses? Because it's not easy to start your own business at the best of times. So it's...
Do you know it was weird because it was kind of an easy decision in a way that I'd been working in this industry for a little while, not that long to be fair. And I suppose I was trying at the time to make a kind of a startup work. And I was putting so much energy into the team, into hiring, developing them, training them. I was also trying to wear about five different hats. I was business development plus training and coaching, plus I had my own number, I had my own target to hit, plus responsible for all the team's target. I was also doing loads of things like just creating training manuals and onboarding processes and lots of HR gumph as well, which I'd never done before. And I kind of thought, do you know what, I'd carry on working here just as a recruiter and just work on these awesome jobs that I'm working on just for a recruiter salary.
Yeah.
Because actually being sort of the manager of all of this is not necessarily any better.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I felt like, do you know what? I could make this work. I could make this successful, but then it's still not me that's going to have, you know, my name above it. It's not going to be line my pockets. I mean, I'm not overly money motivated, so that side of things has never been a massive driver for me, which is odd for a recruiter, I know.
But I'm not massively money motivated. I enjoy what I do, and I think I enjoy the it's going to sound really weird, the thrill of what I do and getting it right and making sure everything works, and then getting paid at the end of it is great. You know, that's the best. That's a good bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the reason always, is it? And also, now that I'm owning my own business is what I enjoy doing as well, if that makes sense. It's weird when you think about it.
I think the owning the business part of it was is a good part of it. There are good and bad with it. I've certainly experienced that. I think, and I've spoken quite openly on LinkedIn about this previously, that when I started up, I planned that, you know, it was going to be successful, I was going to make it work, had no reason to not make it work, no reason to think that it wouldn't work. But I never really planned for what if I make it work, what if it's successful, but I don't really enjoy it. And I think I assumed that when you get everything you want, as in you get the money, earning more than I did in employment, earning, you know, working less hours or more flexible hours that I want to work. You know, go lunching with my mum if I fancy it, just taking the afternoon off here and there. But actually, you you're not necessarily happier in that, or I'm not necessarily happier in that than I was in employment. I think, I wonder why that is then, because there's much more boxes ticked, but you don't necessarily always feel that you've reached that end game, which you kind of think that it is. And I actually, over the last few weeks, I've been thinking it's not a case of I'm not happy in it. Mm. It's more a case of I had, I suppose, disillusioned views of what it would feel like to own and run a business.
Okay.
I think I thought it was, this is the end game. I think you see a lot of entrepreneurs out there that are, this is amazing, it's really hard work, but I absolutely love my life. And I think because that's sort of pumped into the industry so much, and you know, we see loads of people that have set up businesses, you know, certainly in recruitment, that are, you know, to all outsiders of that circle, of that their inner circle, see them as really happy, really excited, you know, loads of energy, it's all go, go, go every day, and they're absolutely loving life. And actually, the reality of it is, it's you know, it's really hard work. I don't know, it's a bit of a cliche to say it's hard work, but it's really hard emotionally. It's really hard emotionally. And I think I wasn't kind of prepared for that, really.
I think when you say it's hard work, it's not hard work as in the job that you do day to day, finding people.
It's the same as what we've always done, isn't it? Yeah.
Different set of problems, that is. Or different. Yeah, it's just completely different. That's the practical part of it. It's the emotional roller coaster of you. And the pull within you, I found the most hardest part. And you're coming up to a year now, aren't you? You're over a year now, aren't you?
Yeah, over a year. So it's February,
So when you get past that year kind of point, especially with myself, things started working a little bit better, as in the business started working better. But my emotional rollercoaster ride was still freaking there. And it never went away. And now I'm 3.5 years into it. I still have that push and pull. I'm having it right now. I'm having a couple of, because of Brexit, I'm having a couple of down months, and I'm thinking, shit, is this it? Is this what the future's going to like? And then I look back at the times when it did drop, and then it big back up, and then it dropped again.
Yeah.
I need to somehow center myself down the middle of it, and I need to work out how to do that. And I think like you say, with entrepreneurs, when you start to learn how to do that, I think you start, your business starts to take a different form and a different direction, maybe. I don't know. What's your thoughts?
And I think there's an element of, you know, changing your perception of things and really trying to appreciate the highs. I think I didn't really appreciate the highs when they were there. I think my busiest and most successful period was around October, November, December, and even slightly into January, and had a really good kind of 3-4 months then of being really busy. I was getting placements, I was getting work in. So I think, you know, but it was all very rushed. You know, when you're busy and it's successful, you don't take time to take sort of stock of that situation and think, this is really good, this is going really well, and I'm really happy with it. You are still thinking, what about the next thing? And that's quite draining mentally. You can sort of be thinking, well, you know, how do you go on to the next thing? You know, have you got time to do all this? Have I got time to sit back and think of how great this is? Well, no, I expect it to be, and you just get on with it.
You don't.
And then when things are quiet, or things have gone wrong, or, you know, things that are out of your control, like, you know, like you mentioned, Brexit or whatever it might be, or, you know, I've got clients that worked with me last year that, you know, just aren't recruiting this year. So I thought, oh, crikey, you know, where am I going to get that backfill from? You sort of start thinking, oh god, actually I took for granted all the that busy time when I was really happy and flying and everything was going great. So then it's difficult because you want it to be constant, but unfortunately it can never be constant.
We're really bad as recruiters, I find. We're really bad at quiet times. We're the worst type of people in the quiet time. We can't deal with it, and we don't know how to get ourselves motivated and develop more business from that quiet time. Because if it's quiet, we're like, oh god, it's quiet. We want it to be busy all the time, but the fact is, it's never going to be busy all the time. I mean, you need to work through that kind of pain barrier. That's my opinion. Mm. But it's hard.
Yeah,
really, really hard. Mm. What's the good thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because there's pros and cons to it, but then at the same time, some of those pros can be cons as well. So
that's a good one. Okay.
Well, they're kind of, you can, depending on how you look at it, and that's what I mean about changing your perspective on things, because you know, it's the fact that I'm now much more flexible. I can kind of do what hours I want to do, and but at the same time, really difficult to cut off. So you then don't, you know, I can never not answer emails, phone calls, yeah. whatever else. You know, if you're when you're an agency and you've got employees, or you've got your team around you, yeah. you can sign off on that Friday, have 2 weeks off, you know, in Santorini, and you know, you don't have to deal with anything if you don't want
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Which, you know, some of the time I would, but then occasionally I would just say, do you know what? I'm actually not answering anything. I'm out of the office. See you later. I'm not talking to anyone. Don't bother.
Yeah.
Which you really can't do that when it's your own. And you kind of don't want to either.
You don't. You're right. And
that's why it's difficult, because it's a pro and a con. It's great that you've got that flexibility that, you know, if I fancy just, you know, popping out for the afternoon or going off to lunch for a couple of hours or whatever, I can do that. But then yeah. I'm always on the phone. I always got that with me. So you've always really got that link back to it. So you're never yeah. truly switched off from it. If we don't put those hours in, if we don't make ourselves available, there will be somebody that does. And that's yeah. the fear, isn't it? Is, you know, you can, I suppose, like many businesses, you can put all the hours that you want to into it and you'll probably be really successful. But like I spoke about in that video that I put on LinkedIn, is that just because you're successful doesn't necessarily mean that you're happy.
Yes.
So those people that put in all those hours and they expect that, they're not necessarily the happiest yeah. in what they do, their work, or there might be something else that's missing. So I always set out to say, you know, yes, I know I could probably work all evenings, weekends, all hours under the yeah. sun, but I don't really want to set out and do that, because yes, it could be successful and it could work really well, but then it's not sustainable. I couldn't do that forever. So if this is going to work as a business, I need to make sure that, you know, I'm not working. Yeah. Not working beneath what is a realistic means, that's, yeah. that's got longevity in it.
Yeah. And you kind of, at least then, if it did get to that point, and hopefully it never will get to that point where you need to close it down, you've done everything you possibly can, and you can then say to yourself, look, I've had a go, mm-hmm. this has worked. But I think by doing that, the paradox of it will work. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. the more you, I do believe this, the more you put into your business, I'm not talking like 60, 100 hour weeks. I'm talking about the more energy you put into it, the more, you know, mm-hmm. you do some extraordinary videos, you do some amazing marketing as well. And I see the way you maneuver mm-hmm. on social media as well, asking the right questions and telling people the right things. So that's the energy I'm talking about, because there's people
yeah.
very similar to you doing a similar job, not doing that. And they're scratching their head going, why is my business not working?
Yeah. So, and that's one of the things that was really frustrating for me when in employment, because I am, and anyone that knows me from like a friendship group perspective and family and whatever will say, yeah. that I'm really direct, that I'm often put my foot in it, and I'll say things that, but actually I'll stand by those comments. But you know, I will say things that, you know, people maybe don't like. Yeah. And I was kind of no different in employment. So, you know, often I would rub people up the wrong way.
Me too.
And I remember commenting on things, you know, on LinkedIn when I was in my last employment, and I lost count of the amount of times I was asked to come into the boardroom to basically, can you take that post down, or can you remove that comment, because you know it really reflects badly on us, and you know we can't have that, and blah blah, blah. And I thought, oh, I'm getting a bit frustrated with this, because yeah. I feel like, you know, I'm not being offensive in a, I don't know, discriminative way or in an aggressive way. It wasn't using foul language in an aggressive tone or anything like that. So it felt really unjustified that I couldn't yeah. have an opinion and have a personality, you know, on LinkedIn. And since then, leaving and kind of doing my own thing now, where I've got complete free reign.
Autonomy, which, yeah.
I don't know if half the time that is a good thing. But yeah, I think since then it's proved that actually that it's a massively powerful tool to be able to get people's buy-in, because a lot of people will, you know, message me, or when they reply to my messages or their comments or talk about videos and whatever else, they'll highlight that as something that they like and respect in people, is that, you know, what, you spoke a lot of sense and you didn't mess around about, you know, you didn't sugarcoat the truth, you said it as it is, and we liked that. And you know, people that don't like it, then that's fine. I think you're always going to upset some people and cause offence.
Let's talk a little bit about your videos and kind of the honesty that you put out there. I've got quite a few questions around it. I mean, the first big question is, what motivates you to put these honest videos out? What were you going through at that moment? Did you express your emotion on camera there and then, or did you wait and think about how did that go?
I think is this the happiness video that you're referring to? I think all
the videos are quite straight up and honest. I think you speak and everything you do.
Well, I think the one that was that had the most traffic most recently, it was a very ad hoc. I was out walking the dog. It was really miserable, and I'd met up actually with someone for a coffee sort of the day prior, I think it was. A fellow recruiter, someone that started up a business years ago, and I was actually just kind of trying to find my feet in terms of, you know, how do I grow the business, what might be the next steps for me as a company and with me, what I'm doing. And actually we talked about everything and anything, as you do when you start up these conversations, and it kind of came away with thinking, after analysing my whole career of going from different jobs in recruitment to getting promoted to sidestepping to getting poached, all those kind of things, to helping a startup, all of those things combined, I realised, wait a minute, I was never really happy in any of those things. So why am I surprised that I'm not happy in this, you know, and what am I going to do next? And I had almost a mini meltdown, really. And that's where that video came from, is put it out there. I actually just wanted reassurance from people to say, you know, look, you're, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not, you're not deranged here. You're doing everything you should be doing, but you've basically reached a point where you sort of thought, don't worry that your business isn't exactly where you want it to be, because actually it never is and shouldn't be. You have to just change that perspective and try and see the happiness in those little things. And we as humans will never be fully content or fully happy 100% of the time. So regardless of what you see pumped out there on social media, you'll never really have all of those things.
That's the thing. When you run a business, those problems you have day to day as an employee, they don't go away. They stay. The insecurities, the moments of madness, the instead of a boss having a word with you now, you're having a word with yourself, and you were doing it on camera to yourself. All that shit don't go away, and it's still there. You've just got to now learn to how to manage that in your day to day. But I remember that video, and when it stopped, I had a tear rolling down my face, because it resonated with me, Charlotte. It really did. It hit home with me massively, massively. And that's why I messaged you straight away.
People were messaging me, kind of like crazy, really, after that. And it was quite odd, because one of those things I just kind of threw it out there, because I think I wanted a bit of peace of mind from other people that, you know, this is normal, it's just some suggestions. And I mean, the amount of advice and stuff that I got from people, I then had to spend literally the next, I don't know, 2-3 days replying to everybody, because it wasn't a case of the traffic that had come to that post and had taken the time to comment. It just said, oh, you know, great share or nice video or whatever. They've shared a part of their lives. They've said, oh, I experienced this when this happened, you know, I did this, or I'm struggling with this at the moment, or I'm doing that, I'm doing this. And there were so many personal experiences that came out of that, just in the comments, let alone all the direct messages that I got as well. I also got emails, I got loads of stuff. And it was weird, because it took off so much that it then felt like I need to go back to these people, you know, one-on-one, and say thank you that they've taken the time out to do that. And it felt, you know, obviously people felt that was a really personal video, perhaps too personal for LinkedIn. I don't know. I mean, it seemed to strike a chord of a lot of people, but
I think it resonated with me in such a way that I didn't see it as like, oh God, that's too personal, that shouldn't be on here. This is a lady that's going through the throes of starting a business and building a business and the day-to-day and the problems of the business, and then reflecting inside and wondering, what the fuck am I doing with my life and what's going on?
We
need to see more of that, instead of these humble braggers that are on there going, look at me, I've just run a load of business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think, you know, even when there are people trying to show hardship, and I can think of someone off the top of my head, and I won't say who it is, but, you know, successful business person or deemed to be, and I don't know their success. I don't know how much money they earn or good their life work balance is or whatever. But it was almost a case of, you know, they were talking about their family and spending time with family and the fact that they're doing this for them and their business. So they were talking about the hardships of not being able to see family, but it then still came back to, this isn't really a hardship and a vulnerable post. This is talking about how successful and busy you are in your business because it's so good. So it wasn't true. It wasn't real. It wasn't raw. And that's the problem with a lot of stuff on these platforms is that, you know, and that's why that video probably did resonate, because there was no, and this is how I've overcome it, and this is how brilliant it is now that I've realized this, and I can, you know, there wasn't an end to that video. There wasn't any advice. There was no guidance. It was just a case of,
here I am.
Holy
this is what
crap,
I'm doing.
What's going on? Help me.
Exactly. And sometimes that's worth doing. And that's not about you trying to bring in business or trying to attract candidates to you. That's you trying to give you as your kind of, I'm not a massive personal brand believer. I think everyone has some sort of brand, but that's who you are, and it makes you approachable in a different way. And certainly when I've done video, I mean, I still get into this day videos I released a year ago, people commenting and sending me emails on them, and I can't remember what video they're talking about. and I still do this to this day. And I still get messages from people, and you kind of think, a piece of my personality is out there and people are connected with that. And then they're coming to me. I've never had anything like it in my life. And it's so confusing and weird, but amazing at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done. You've done exactly that. You put a piece of you out there. Vulnerable as well.
And people want to see that, even if somebody is struggling. It's someone that I think especially, and that's why there's so much hype around when, you know, someone in a really public figure or, you know, celebrity or sportsman, whoever it might be, comes forward and says, you know, I've really struggled with this. I've struggled with it. Whether or not it's something that's actually diagnosed as a problem like depression or anxiety or anything else. But when someone comes forward and says, you know, I'm really struggling with this, or I'm really unhappy with that, doesn't necessarily mean that they're saying that they feel that there is a bigger problem there, but just having those little human elements to their personality means that people do just like them because they feel that these aren't elitist. These people aren't any different to anyone else. And that's the same with, you know, with a celebrity, with me and you, with any of our connections on LinkedIn, with any of our friends and family. Like, they're all people that can have all of these things. And I think that's the problem with certainly with LinkedIn and with business, is you have all these fronts, I suppose, that both businesses and people are putting forward. And you're almost meant to think that when you reach a certain platform, when you reach a certain goal, then you're successful, and therefore that equals happiness. And it doesn't. A lot of the time, it doesn't.
Yeah. I hate that. It's almost the Instagramming of LinkedIn, isn't it? Where it's a fake kind of. You know, they're not, everything you see on Instagram with influencers, it's not real. And it's the same with influencers on LinkedIn. And they've projected this, you know, look how successful I am. But, you know, they're renting their car. They rent their house. They're in a bit of credit card debt. They're not really where they say they are, but there's this perception.
But do you know what? Even if they were hugely successful and they owned everything and they were, you know, told that still a lot of the time doesn't mean that they will be happy. You know, it doesn't equal to that. So, you know, there's certainly a case of people fronting these things that are kind of claiming to be more successful or more rich or, you know, getting more business or being busy or whatever it might be than others. You know, there's lots of people that are sort of traveling around and checking into airports and doing all this kind of stuff. But a lot of the time that isn't, you know, that isn't a direct link to their own happiness. A lot of these people, you know, projecting all of that stuff. And it might all be true. Their riches, their fame, their fortune might all be true. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're happy. And you've only got to look at, you know, the suicides of like celebrities and people that have been perceived to be, you know, really successful and really happy almost. And they've got everything. How could this person possibly feel there was nowhere out, like Robin Williams? I mean, how anyone could think that someone like that would feel that they had no choice and could be that deep into those types of emotions is baffling, really.
Oh, I agree. Totally agree. And it all comes down to mental health. And mental health as a business owner is key to the growth of your business. I really do. And I don't know about you, but where I find I try to keep myself kind of above water with happiness and where I, you know, exactly. That's why you resonated with me with that video. It's focusing on certain things that keeps me happy, like my little one or certain holidays that we've got planned and stuff like that. And that's what keeps me happy. But also getting it right in the business keeps me happy. And if you do enough of them, you continue being happy and happier. But then it's like drugs. You're relying on those things to make you happy.
Yeah.
And I did listen to, I think it's Sean Anker on, I remember sent you a load of TED Talks. I can't remember if I sent you that one.
Yeah. I watched so many. I couldn't even tell you any of the names of them. Because although I'm in recruitment, I never remember anyone's name. I'm terrible.
Sean Anker's Pursuit of Happiness. Yeah, that was the one.
I remember the title. Yeah, it was really good. Loads of them were really, really good. Yeah. And I think that's another thing that, you know, since that video went out and since I've had lots of people kind of suggesting things to do, whether that's TED Talks, podcasts, happiness exercises, you know, yoga, meditation, spiritual things, reading certain books, following certain people, all this kind of stuff was suggested. And I guess another one of my difficulties with all of this and people's suggestions generally is there seems to be quite a fine line between, I suppose, you know, happiness, finding your center, and then it kind of crosses over slightly into the kind of spiritual and godly side of things, which is so far removed from, you know, my belief system. I'm an atheist, so any kind of coach or mentor or whatever that's been telling me that, you know, even meditation and stuff, I mean, I see the benefits, but I've tried to be hypnotized. I've tried meditation. I don't like it. I think it's all rubbish. Telling me it's not, but I've tried it. Yeah. I think you have to, like with anything, you have to really believe in it.
Yes.
You know, like when you go for a new job, you have to really believe in it and really want it. Otherwise, you're going to go into it with the wrong mindset anyway. So the fact that I don't believe in any of this stuff and I think it's all rubbish, well, it's not going to work on me, is it?
Yeah, I think you're right. And where I was trying to get to, what Sean was trying to say in his TED talk was, it wasn't about pursuing happiness where, you know, I'm now a business owner. Why am I not happy? Or I'm now this, why am I not happy? It was about be happy. Be happy now.
It's an internal thing. Yeah.
Internal thing.
And you know, people say it's an internal thing. It comes from within, that you need to, you know, you need to find happiness in, you know, just choosing to be happy. And that, Mark Manson's, The Subtle Art, book is amazing because, that's more my style. It's very tongue in cheek. It's jokey. It's quite rude. It's, you know, it's quite truth. So it's more on my wavelength where I feel like I can really buy into it because it's really sarcastic and funny.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of approach that worked more for me than going down a very find your center, you should meditate, you know, do these exercises type thing. I found that really difficult to buy into personally.
I found that difficult when I did NLP. I found that really difficult where you had to create a circle around yourself and that you step into the circle and that's your happy place. I was like, what? Yeah. I've got to use my mind to do what? And create these circles around me?
I know. I've spoken to a few coaches that have got these exercises and, you know, one of them had just sort of sent me away and said, after initial consultation, sent me away and said, look, just draw something that represents you. Draw something that represents you. And I don't know how long I sat there and I thought, this is bollocks, I'm not doing it. Because I can't, I just
I thought you were gonna draw a shoe or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't draw a pair of I didn't draw a pair of bollocks either. I literally just
I was gonna be nice.
And I just thought, oh, what is this doing? And I don't know, maybe it would help to kind of psychoanalyze me and to work out, you know, what's going on in my head and help me overcome that. I felt like that wasn't the approach that I wanted to do.
Yeah, I think that's NLP's anchoring. I think that's what it's called. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've done it.
Yeah.
And you anchor yourself on a moment in your life that's happy. So it could be a picture. It could be, you know, some people talk about, remember back in the day when you had your target set for you and they used to say, get a picture of a car or a house and focus on that. And that's like, that's a...
Oh, God, yeah.
It used to piss me off, if I'm honest with you, because it never worked. I'm looking at it going,
yeah.
They'll can't afford it.
I know it never works because I printed off when I was... You know, over the years I've been dieting, I printed off a picture of Michelle Keegan in a bikini.
Oh, and, worst person to do
well,
that.
I still don't look like her. I still don't look like her in a bikini.
You
and
look
that picture
better
was
than
on
Michelle.
that was on my monitor on my workstation for years at Hayes. And I never got there.
I had Michelle Keegan on my computer for a different reason, but that's the different one.
Not trying to aim for the body type.
No, just aim for the body. I see what you mean. It's finding that thing though. I think this is almost coming full circle, isn't it, for us? Where you've got to discover that thing that makes you happy, but not that trickle of drug happy, which, you know, oh, I made a placement, I made £1 million, and then the next month I've got nothing now. Ooh, you know, you've got to find that centre ground, haven't you, and find what that makes for you.
But you've got to find something that's always there, I suppose. Kind of irrespective of what isn't there around you, and that's why it's really difficult to pin it on things like family or just relationships in general, or a hobby or something like that, because, you know, the minute then you're not doing that, or that you can't do that or see that person, or, you know, whatever happens, and it isn't there. So I think that's what a lot of the coaches said. You've got to find something that's, you know, it comes from within as such, and it sounds a bit spiritual, but I think what they're getting at is that something that's internal that you need to be able to use, as you say, as a crux then to back to.
It's not so much spiritual. I think, you know, we have an inner voice. We have an inner thing within ourselves. And most of the time we're trying to convince them everything's all right. And they're like a little excited chimpanzee, aren't they? They're running around the place like an idiot. And you just got to keep them calm all the time. And it's learning how to do that. And I think the more and more you do that, the more and more you center yourself. And people call it Zen. People call it, you know, Buddhists believe in this enlightenment. Yeah. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to create a version of that for yourself without getting too spiritual.
Yeah,
you're not going to go buy Reiki crystal.
I know. Yeah, exactly. I think it's and it's difficult because there is definitely a bit of crossover, and I think anything that goes too far into that, it loses me. But I think the TED Talk, The Science of Happiness, that is absolutely brilliant. There's lots of podcasts on that as well. Yeah. And that's amazing because it gives you kind of practical exercises that you can do. And, you know, some you might think are sort of nonsense, but actually they're much more practical than it feels like just, you know, draw something that represents you. It's more write down three things at the end of the day that bring you joy, that were good today. Write down three good things. And then you just write down three good things end of each day. You go to bed and you wake up in the morning, you look at them again, and then you carry on with your day. And the idea behind it is that you're showing that constant gratitude and noticing the good things, but then you're also have more of a positive outlook, because then you find yourself throughout the day then looking for good things to happen, to spot good things, to make an account of that. So it just generally makes you into a more positive person. So there is some science behind it, and it's trying to Looking at it from that angle, for me, is better.
Yeah. And like I was saying with NLP, with the circle and like projecting things in my mind, it didn't work at the beginning. And over time, when you start thinking about it and practicing, you do get better being happier, even in a, you know, your car's on fire and you're like, I'm fine. Not in a psychological that way, you know?
Yeah, not in a...
You know what I mean?
Actual dangerous way.
Yeah, they're like, ah, my car's on fire. That's brilliant.
Just sit here, it's fine.
I'm fine with that. It's like, what? You win? but in a way where you, when you do have a moment of business crisis, you've got a level head.
Mm.
You're all right with it. And your clarity comes to you then much, much quicker. You don't get as angry, quite snappy about it. But that is practice. And you... It's what I find with some people when they talk about, oh, I've tried it, it doesn't work, they've tried it to a point and they haven't given it enough energy and time to continue it.
Mm.
But again, yeah. you need
I think it's finding a method that works. Yeah, exactly. It's finding a method that works for you that you can really buy into. Because
yes.
without that, then, you know, yeah, like anything, like people that believe in ghosts and whatever else, you know, or spirits or whatever, you know, you might call it. But,
yeah. It's like, you know, it's like there are
people there that
mind.
Believe that, and you yeah. and yeah, and you think, well, they believe because they believe it, then it's easy for them to think certain things. Whereas, because I'm so against all of that and just don't believe any of it, think it's rubbish, then obviously yeah. as soon as you're talking about spirituality and all that kind of stuff, then it sort of loses me, it loses my interest because I'm not bought into it. So I think it's finding a method that suits you, and if it's the science route, which I think is the way that I would have that buy-in and believe it enough to practice, like you say, then that would be the route I could take.
But that's the way your brain is wired. It's got to be this logical process to get you there. Where some people will say, hey, listen, you know, go and speak to God, and they'll go and speak to God, and somehow that works for them. It's something worth you. How are you feeling now then, since that video, and how's things with you and
Wayne? It's odd because it's quite busy now, so it's good because I've got more work on. Things have picked up from that perspective, so naturally, my mood is lifted, I suppose. But even just even from the day after that video went out, I felt an uplift anyway, just in the fact that there was people saying,
"Let's off our shoulders."
I feel like that too. And it was just people could relate, and then you therefore it's quite powerful how something then really doesn't feel as big a deal when you know other people were going through that at the same time, and you've shared that. So that was really good that kind of worked. And I think I think just talking to people, keep going through all of those things, and keep looking at TED Talks, keep doing different exercises. I think all those things have kind of helped, really, and just trying to appreciate smaller things, but also not to kind of expect too much, I think, as well.
That's a big one, isn't it?
It's really difficult because my mum, she said one of her kind of famous quotes of hers that I'll always remember is never expect too much and then you'll never be disappointed. And I hate it. I've hated it with a vengeance for years, because I used to think that is what unambitious, boring people say. Like, that's, and I used to, almost used to think, well, yeah, you would say that, you married at 20, three kids, never really had a career, never finished your education, you just went into motherhood, and then I thought it was just a, well, you would say that because that's what you're like. But now I think, well, actually, I think I always had that perception, and we go back to that success doesn't equal happiness. I thought, well, you're not successful, so you wouldn't know what that means. You don't have a career. You don't want to do these things. You don't want to have that. So I sort of judged her for that. And actually now I think, my God, was she happy? She's just the most happiest person in the world. She's just
nothing phases her.
The life exactly as she wanted to. That's amazing that she's done that. And now I sort of, instead of thinking, yeah, but you're different to me, we don't want the same things, I think actually I look up to her a lot more than I used to, because I think, wow, what a that's an amazing thing to say, because it's so true. And it isn't for the unambitious and uninspired and people that don't want to get anywhere. It's actually just that, it's really emotionally detrimental to think that way, where you just have to keep pushing on, and you're never satisfied with anything, and you never find happiness or contentment in anything.
Yeah.
You just keep having to go on and on and on, because that's not what life is essentially.
Yeah, it's connected to resilience and tenacity, and it's connected to, my nan used to say, keep moving forward, which is like that war thing, just keep moving forward, that attitude they used to have then. When shit was hitting the fan, just keep moving forward. And they found happiness in there somewhere, and they found a way of living their lives in such a way. And their expectation wasn't that great back then. And that attitude, I get where your mum's coming from, because I have a very similar attitude. I don't have these expectations I'm going to be a billionaire in the future. But what I do have is a set of ideas and processes that I want to follow in the hope that it will return something the next level, but not straight away to the top. Do you know what I mean? It's like, all right, let's get this next level. Let's try achieve the next level. Mm. And then if I fail, I'll come back. And I'm not hurt by that because I've had a go. And I think that's a weird thought process. Mm. I can't verbalize it. Someone might be able to verbalize it better than I.
Yeah. No, but I think, I think it is just, it's kind of recognizing that the end goal, whatever that might be, doesn't really exist.
Well, it's...
you think it is, it doesn't really exist. Yeah. So you just need to appreciate where you're at right now, because the problem is, if you just keep aiming for an end goal or what you think is an end goal, you never really get there, because your end goal by the time you've got there has changed and it's something else.
Yeah, so definitely.
Then you'll never be... You have to be happy at each stage of it, because otherwise you'll never be happy, because the end goal, it doesn't exist. It's not there. You'll never reach it.
I mentioned this in, I've recorded another podcast this morning with a guy called Gareth Brooke, an absolute super interesting person, about neurodiversity and kind of him starting his business and what he's doing. And we were talking about, Simon Sinek has done a book on it, which is about game theory, but I've taken a piece of that and the ideas and theories behind it. And I love the idea that you've got to look at the world as an infinite game. Okay. And the only way you can play in an infinite game is play an infinite game. So by what I mean by that, if you have end goals in an infinite game, you're going to fail. If you have this perception and expectation you need to achieve X, Y, and Z, you're going to fail. You have to play an infinite game. You've got to keep moving forward in that game. And the only way you can drop out of that game is if you run out of money or you're just not interested anymore. Whereas if you drop out of a finite game, and if you play that finite game, so basically you want to sell your business in 5 years. A lot of people don't achieve that. In fact, quite a lot of people don't achieve that. It's because they've finited themselves in an infinite game. You fail. You will always fail. So it's always... So what I said to Gareth, and I think you get this, is that, you know, every 3 or 4 months, just keep reviewing your plan. Just keep moving it forward.
Yeah.
Adapt it. Evolve it. Mm. Don't have that end goal. Just, you know, have goals. Once you achieved it, right, the next one. Right, the next one, and don't have a... Because when you finite things and you define it as that one goal, you'll never get there. You'll never be happy.
Mm. I think that's part of the problem, really, is either having those or just kind of not having goals at all. I mean, I didn't really have a proper goal as such. I just wanted to make it work, and that was a very loose kind of answer. Just wanted to earn more than I did in employment and make it work and be successful. But I didn't have, you know, set this is what constitutes it being successful. It was just making money, being, you know, being that was the judgment, really, or I suppose what I would judge that success on. And because I did that, then I felt like, it is successful then.
Yeah.
But why doesn't it feel like it should? You know, why don't I feel like I've made it? Why don't I feel like these people that are, living the high life and they're enjoying their life and they couldn't be happier? And, you know, why don't I feel like that? But actually, I do, really. And they feel the same as me. We don't feel any different. They're just portraying that. And I'm portraying the real side of things. Sometimes I'm really happy. I'm absolutely buzzing, you know, doing all these nice things and of great family, friends, all the rest of it. But I, you know, have shown a different side to it. And I don't believe for one second that those entrepreneurs or business owners or whoever they are, I don't believe for one second that, you know, what they portray is everything to do with their emotions and how they feel and their success.
They've hidden it. They've hidden it. They don't believe it needs to be shown in the public. And they believe, and that's the problem with being an entrepreneur or being a business owner. Everyone is in this belief that you've got to show success all the time. Yeah, look how successful I am. I'm really successful. And then, you know, most people are not. 99% of entrepreneurs are probably not as successful as they want to be. And then you got that 1%, you know, the Grant Cardones, the Gary V's of the world, they're super successful, but they 30 years to get where they've got. So it's like, but they've learned over time how to be happy about what they do. So yeah, it's coming back to that.
And they won't be happy 100% of the time.
No, probably not.
That's the other thing is, you know, we see them, you know, with their families out enjoying holidays and dinners and whatever else, buying cars. But it's not, that isn't necessarily, you know, what will bring happiness to them. And a lot of the time they'll go through those really low points, those points where they think, oh, I'm really miserable, I'm really down, or something's happened out of my control that I'm not happy with. So there will be those moments for those people. And I think it's just making people aware of that. It's making people aware that, you know, every single person will have those different emotions. It's that you can't be happy all of the time, and also you can't be sad all of the time either. I think there's people that have depression or have those real problems, but or people that have suffered incredible loss, but you know, you can't be sad all of the time. You know, these emotions are natural reactions to what's going on around you. You can choose them to a certain extent. Some things will affect you more than others. You need to be able to sort of ride those emotions out and just manage them as best you can, and try and make the most of whichever emotion that you're dealing with at that point.
And you're only human, and if you can work it out how to maintain that level of the balance between happiness and sadness, then I think you're going to be a lot more clear in your mind on what you're going to do moving forward with your business. And then you can achieve those little mini goals to get where you want to. The moment you let sadness or happiness or the pursuit of happiness into that world, you're never going to be right, are you? Which we've both discovered. So to kind of wrap this up, the focus then for you is to continue practicing to be happier in life.
I think that's I think that's been sort of my most interesting learn, I think you can have all these preconceptions of what will make you happy. A lot of people think it in other things, not just business. They think that having a baby might make them happy, or that getting married might make them happy. Or that, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, that moving to Australia might make them happy. But actually, you know, people think, oh, if I go and live in, there's actually a coach I was speaking to, and she said that she felt like she needed to get away from it. She needed to go, and she went to, you know, a really remote island for like a month just to switch off and just recoup. And she said, and I realized I got there and it was still exactly the same. I still felt exactly the same. I hadn't lost anything. I was still feeling all those things, and actually it didn't work. So, you know, you think that these things will bring you happiness, but they don't. So
what those things bring you is happy moments. So there's like, a little spark of moment of happiness, and then it quickly disappears the next day. You know, you're having a child, and then the screams the house down the first night that you bring it home. And you think, where's that happiness gone now of having a child? It's in the background. It's that gradual feeling of happiness that you will have. But there's, you know, you go on holiday or you do, and you come back and you're still not happy. You've had moments of happiness. Yeah. So look upon them as a memory of happiness. And then that's where that anchoring NLP talks about, anchors you into those times. So we're pursuing it in the wrong way. Starting a business. Oh shit! I'm not happy anymore. You were looking at it in the wrong way, and then you kind of like, okay, now I get it. Yeah. That's the evolution, I think, for sure.
It's looking in the wrong places for happiness, because it won't be a singular thing that you can change or do or whatever that will make you happy. You need to work out how to get that just from yourself, doing things for yourself, looking after yourself, being positive, choosing to be happy about certain things, being happy when things are good, and actually taking the time to appreciate those things, rather than beat yourself up or to kind of brush over those happy moments and you know, almost taint them with, you know, sadder ones. So it's trying to ride that out, really, in terms of business. It's trying to be appreciative of the happy times, but then when it is really tough, thinking, you know, it has gone well, I can do this. It's proven that it's worked before, so it can work again. So it's just kind of battling through it all and keeping up. And I like your grandma's quote of
keep moving forward.
Yeah. Well, Mark Manson says something in his book. I think he said that someone had said to him, can't remember if it was a teacher or his dad, or I can't remember, it said, if you don't know where to start, you know, when you're working on a project, or you're going to start doing something, or, you know, an assignment, if you don't know what to do or how to tackle it, just do something. Just get started on it. Just do whatever. It doesn't matter if it's absolute rubbish. Just get started on it. And I think that's a really good message as well, because the amount of times that we sit there and think, oh, but I can't do this, or I don't know how to do that, or I can't find these candidates, or I don't know where these next jobs are coming in. Just do something. Doesn't matter if it doesn't work. Doesn't matter. Just get on with it and do something, because that busyness and actually just being productive, even if it's not productive, but being productive will lead to having something come out of the end of it, hopefully.
Brilliant. And on that note, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks for having me.
That's all right.
No worries.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So the reason I started this podcast is to get that message out to people. It starts with you. You are the catalyst in everything. And what Charlotte's journey she's on at the moment is that self-realization that she is in control of this happiness. And it's not at the end of the task that you're going to do, starting a business, going on holiday, having a baby. It starts with you. You've got to be centered in yourself to become happy. And that is a powerful, powerful learn for someone to have, because from here on in, I know Charlotte is an awesome person anyway, but from here on in, she's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And we all know she's going to be a fantastic business owner, and her business is going to have a lot of success. So reach out to her, check her out on LinkedIn, check out the videos that she puts out. She's got some great stuff as well, and have a conversation with her. She's a really nice person. You will get on with her really well. And I've got some more podcasts coming up with some extraordinary people as well, talking about it starting with you and how they did it, or even giving advice on to people that want to do things for themselves and want to self-learn and self-develop themselves. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye.